Hi, Colister. Welcome to another Sunday in isolation. I, for one, am not enjoying this. I miss you guys. I want to be able to worship with you. But I want to say a few things just as a way of introduction. The first thing is I am convinced that this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. I think our lives are going to be different for a much longer period of time than maybe some of us are hoping for. I think it's important to prepare ourselves for this, right? To take a deep breath, to begin to practice patience. I am frustrated. I don't want to have to change my life in these ways. I'm not always sure, like, what information do I trust? How serious is this really? Like, all these doubts and thoughts that many of us have. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Let's take a deep breath. Right? We're going to get through this. We're going to get through it together. We're going to find creative ways to connect. A couple of things that are important to me. Please listen to the recommendations of the CDC, Center for Disease Control. Go to their website. These are the foremost experts in the area of disease control. They feel like the coronavirus is a huge threat. I trust them. Medical professionals feel like this is a huge threat. They're asking us to protect one another, to love one another, I would argue, to love our neighbors by being more isolated. Practice social distancing. Let's slow the spread of the coronavirus. So please listen to the CDC. Go to their website for information. It's incredibly helpful. And that's helped convince me, right? Like, just, Joe, slow down. Take a deep breath. Know that this is going to last a little longer than you would like. But we can practice being together in other ways. We are thinking through creative strategies to create a phone tree for the church so that everyone's getting a phone call every week. So we'll be trying to coordinate some of those efforts. We will continue to email. We will continue to put out videos like this one. We really want to stay connected. If you know of anyone who has needs, you might be one of those people, you might have a neighbor, please let me know. Please let Pastor Jenny know. We want to help. If that means, trying to figure out groceries or childcare or transportation, there are a lot of people that have been negatively affected, and we want to try to fill the gaps. That's the role of the church. We are a community that serves the needs of others. And so please let me know if we can do that. We are in conversations, Jenny is in particular, with Taft, to figure out, what about the students that used to have free meals? What are we going to do? Can we help in any way? And we'll be getting that information to you as we have need for help. Continue to pray. Continue to support one another. Continue to be a positive force in our world that has so much negativity right now. I want to talk today a little bit about being Christian in the time of coronavirus. Our sermon series has been Around the Table. I'm going to pick that up next week. That's my plan anyway. But for now, for today, given all that we've been through as a planet, and in particular as a community here in Boise, I thought it was important to think through what it would look like to be Christian in the time of the coronavirus, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm just not that interested in what people say they believe or what people say they value. I'm not interested in what I say I believe or what I say I value. What I'm interested in is, how do you live? How do you act? How do you treat people when the chips are down? That's when character is revealed. That's when what you really believe comes out. When it's going to cost you something, when it's inconvenient, when it's dangerous, when it's scary, how do you act, how do you live? That shows what you believe, where you put your faith, where your true values are. When the Titanic's sinking, how do you behave? I want to prepare my heart, my soul. This is what church is about. This is why we meet every week. It's to prepare ourselves that when things are hard, we will live differently as Christians than the rest of the world. We're not going to be purely selfish or panicked or narcissistic, or we'll live differently. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to make one thing clear from the beginning, though. You know, early on, I was a little cavalier, right? So in my mind, it's like, we will not live in fear. We're going to meet together in worship. We're going to prepare ourselves to help our communities when they need it. The problem is, in a situation like the coronavirus, right now, not forever, but for now, the most loving thing we can do, the most courageous thing we can do, is to listen to the CDC and stop the rapid spread of the coronavirus, which means not meeting for worship. This is so hard for me to accept. I wish I could explain to you how hard it is for me to accept this, right? That the best, most courageous, most loving thing is to follow instructions and be cautious. Not forever, but for now. That's part of what we can do to be Christian. But I think there's other ways we can show our faith during this time. We can show our true values, our core values, in the midst of coronavirus. And so I want to start, if you've got your Bibles, you can pause me. Again, I know that you're loving that. Excuse me, I'm going to go Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 3. I'm reading the NIV. All of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God, we too may live a new life. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. I've talked about this many times. Baptism is the way in which we sort of become part of the kingdom of God. It's our public sacrament that says, the Joe Banker tomorrow is going to be drowned in the waters. He is dead. That person that is selfish, prideful, afraid, a slave to sin, a slave to the fear of death, that person is drowned in the waters. And what comes up out of the water of baptism is a new creation. I've been resurrected. I've died with Christ. I've been resurrected with Christ. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to the fear of death. I am free. Chains are broken. I can live in radical love. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be concerned. I can be broken and poured out for the world, right? So we have been crucified with Christ. We have died with Christ. We have been resurrected with Christ. Death does not get the last word. I don't have to be afraid, not even of death. So if I'm not afraid of death, if I'm not afraid of scarcity, if I'm not afraid of getting mine, what do people think? Do I have enough prestige? Do I get enough pay? Do I have enough accolades or honor? When I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, I'm set free from the fear of death. I can live totally different in the world, right? Totally different. Free, saved, delivered. I'm going to continue. Verse 5. If we have been united with him, that is Jesus, like this in Jesus' death, we will certainly also be united with Jesus in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin or to the fear of death, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Christ. For we know that since Jesus was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. With death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. He lives, I would argue, in love and in service to love. What we are seeing in our world, we have many experiences of this right now, is the fear of death. literally because of the coronavirus, or in a more generalized term, the fear of death expressing itself in hoarding groceries, toilet paper, hoarding jobs even, backbiting at work. I know at NNU we're going to be cutting faculty positions, and instead of leaning in together as a community to make decisions that would be best for the future of the university, everyone is defending their turf. I am guilty of this. We're all afraid. How do I protect my job? How do I make sure I get my due and recognition? All of that is a kind of fear of death, fear of change, fear of the loss of control. And these are all things, if we're Christian, we've been set free from, which means the chains are broke. So I want my behavior, my attitudes, my words, the way I treat people, to be different, to look like faith, to look like trust in God, to look like selflessness and love. That's how I should look. I have been a redeemed, resurrected being, no longer a slave to sin. But that is really hard. It's hard enough to do it when everything's great. It feels almost impossible to do it when coronavirus strikes. So I want you to take this really seriously in your own life. What would it look like to not be a slave to fear? What would that really look like to believe that death has no sway over you, nor does a loss of your job, nor does a loss of your comfort or your autonomy? You don't have to be afraid of any of those things. But then in all things, we can trust God, one another, and then live in love. Right now, part of this is accepting the situation, crucifying my desires to go out, go to the movies, have my kids in school, have my normal routine, crucifying that and staying indoors, trying to be creative on social media and other things to reach out to my church community, to my students who've been all sent home, and living into an uncomfortable reality of isolation for a time. This is part of how I crucify my desires and be motivated, live motivated by love. However, I'm going to challenge all of you in small ways. Let's start small. I want every one of you, and I'm going to take on this challenge myself, every single day to do three things motivated by love. Okay? Call someone you haven't called for a while. Reach out. Stay connected. Email someone, right? Zoom someone. I want you to, every day, to think about who can I call, email, connect with. I think that's vital. What can you sacrifice for the sake of someone else in this time? Take less food than you need from the grocery store, right? Don't hoard. Don't act in response, reaction, or fear. Be gracious, right? Be second. Let someone else go ahead of you. Work to ensure that what we're doing is motivated by selflessness, by the call of Christ, by the road to the cross, right? To be broken, crucified, poured out in love for the world. We can't do this in grand ways right now, but we can do it in small ways. And I want you to prepare your hearts, to really prepare them in prayer, Lenten studies. We all have a lot more time to do some Bible reading and other things. Prepare your hearts, because if our community runs into real problems, and we're already starting to see some of them, I think these problems will grow. We are going to be called on as Christians to respond in more radical ways. Sacrifice even more than we're ready to right now for our faith, for our beliefs, for our neighbor. Stepping in and helping the medical community out, potentially. For those of us that are able-bodied, maybe even when it means exposure. We might be called to do that. We're not right now. Now we're called to isolation, but maybe. Are we ready? Am I ready to exposed. We might be called to provide food, daycare, right? Elderly care, transportation, running errands. We might be called to be part of a phone crew where we've got to call multiple people every day to check on them. Are we ready to make those sacrifices? Are we ready to show the world a different way to respond to coronavirus? To rise up and say, they will know us by the way we love one another, by the way we love strangers, by the way we love the person living next door that we've never met. Maybe it's time to meet your neighbor. Again, social distancing people, but do they need help? Are they a shut-in? Do they need someone, a friendly ear, a conversation? Maybe the loving thing to do right now in isolation is to share positive memes, send forth positive meditations and prayers and blogs, ones that provide hope and strength and encouragement, and refuse to participate in gossip, in the politicizing of coronavirus, in the dividing of people, in the negative chatter that's all around us. Maybe it just means saying no. Unclicking that internet link, that page, not forwarding it, not responding. It's time for our faith to show up in our living. It's time, right now, crisis. Are we ready? And maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. I would suggest that's why we come to church every Sunday, is to get prepared for these moments. And if we're not prepared yet, fine. Maybe we need a few more Sundays. Maybe we need a few more years of meeting every single week to remind ourselves of what it looks like to be followers of Jesus. But I think Hollister is ready. I believe in you. I believe in us. I feel confident we're going to approach this day with love and with grace and with kindness. So please reach out. Let me know how you're doing. And we're going to get through this together. Hi, Hollister. Welcome to another Sunday.